And I'm very excited to be here. I'm honored to be able to come and share the word of the Lord with you tonight. When I've been teaching about the trust factor and how trust is the most important thing that you can possibly have because it yields such great rewards in your life when you have trust and the ultimate trust in God and who He is and what He says and how important it is to just rely on His word. And tonight what I want to talk to you about, and I think I touched on it a little bit last time, but I want to talk to you about letting go. Just letting go. And I've got a few stories to tell you, but I want you, if you have a piece of paper, I want you to grab a piece of paper, and I feel like as the Holy Spirit is here, and I believe He's going to be speaking to your hearts. And so what I want you to do is if the Lord brings something to your mind that is burdening you or that is frustrating you or that you're fretting about or something like that, I just want you to have a piece of paper handy so you can jot it down, because we're just going to do a little something at the end that's going to help us let it go. And it's really helped me a lot. There was a poem that I had written down several weeks ago, and I know you guys have probably heard it, but it's called Let Go, My Child. And I'm sure you've heard it, but I'm going to read it to you right now. It says, as children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He is my friend. But then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back again and cried, how can you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never did let go. And so what I got that a long time ago. It was actually something that was on the inside of a book that someone had given me, and it really hit me between the eyes because I tend to be a little bit of a control freak, wanting to hold on to things and not let go of stuff and thinking that I can be the executive secretary of the Holy Spirit and that I can fix everything for everybody and that I will be the one to fix it all. And God gave me a big revelation about that. He said, you can't do anything without me. And so it just took me on this surge of learning to trust God and know that first of all, you have to know that He loves you. And Pastor Robert and Duane, and we've all just kind of been hitting on that, is that God so loved the world. Before you even knew Him, before you even had consciousness of Him, He loved you so much that He gave His Son. And then His Son came here, and His Son said in John 15:9, I love you. I love you. So this week, this song keeps coming back to my mind. We all know it. We learned it when we were little. I sang it to my children. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's a simple song, but the presence of God is on it. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of a time when Chad, I don't know how old he was, but he was talking, but not fluently. And he could sing that song. But we would sing it like, Jesus loves Chad, this I know. And we put his name in there. Well, one day we were at my mom and dad's house, and we were sitting at the table. I guess we'd eaten dinner. And Chad starts singing that to my dad. And it's the first time that I've ever seen my dad almost bawl. He teared up, and it really touched his heart. Because here's this innocent little, however it was, four-year-old, however old, singing, Jesus loves Papa, this I know, for the Bible tells Papa so. And my dad just sat there. What could he do? He was so touched by it. So this week, that song just popped into my head Sunday night. So Monday morning, I started singing it. Well, I had Trenton's Monday. I had Trenton Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So by Monday morning, I really needed some strength. some supernatural strength. And I was praising God forevermore that his parents were coming home that day and that I got to send him home and that I raised my children when they were small. I just feel for parents who are raising little ones like that at 48, God bless you. Whoever you are out there, God bless you, and may God give you the strength that you know you need to do it. And he does. I know he does, but I'm so grateful I had my kids in my 20s. Thank you, Lord. So my point is that to know that God loves you, and then to know that he is working in your life to willing to do his good pleasure. And I could go and I could give you the list of all the scriptures, but really I just want to exhort you tonight. I walked into the bookstore. This is how I know it. This is, I'm so on point here because it's, I walked in the bookstore and there's this little thing. It says prayer box. And it says, when your head starts to worry and your mind just can't rest, put your prayers down on paper and let God do the rest. So that just confirmed what was in my heart to do tonight. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, Audrey, I'm just going to borrow this for a second and take this because I really want to remember to say that. Because we're kind of like this kid who brings our stuff to God, and we keep on waiting kind of to figure out how he's going to do it. How are you going to figure it out? How are you going to fix this for me? And you know, if you did this, God, like we start telling God how to do it. And if you just, you know, I know my kids, and Lord, if you would just put this particular person across their path, right? Don't we like to tell God what to do? Executive Secretary of the Holy Spirit, that's what that is. And you just need to fire yourself and resign and say, God, you know best. You know, Matthew 11:30 says, and these are all familiar scriptures. I'm not telling you anything you don't know tonight, but I'm just reminding us because I needed to be reminded. So I figured, why not? Everybody else. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he says, he wants us to leave the heaviness with him. And so whatever things you're feeling heavy about, God wants you to leave them with him. And so I started practicing this back when my kids were little about letting go because, you know, I've been a control freak probably my whole life, so one of the things that happened, this is just one of the stories that came to my mind whenever I was praying about this, was when Chad was in, they were learning to really develop their language. I guess it was like first or second grade, and he had a speech problem. He couldn't say his GR, his GRS. And that's why my mom, instead of grandma, became Nama, because Chad was the first grandchild, and he couldn't say his GRS. He couldn't say grandma. He said Nama. And that's how she got her particular fun grandma name, which we all love now. And everyone calls her Nama. Well, in the small little town like Utopia, they don't have speech therapy. They don't have all that special kind of stuff to do. And so we were trying to figure out, the teacher that he had was super, and she had some contacts. And so I was really worried about it. I was fretting about it, and I was heavy laden about it. My son had a speech problem. I was really burdened by it. So I just said, Lord, I know that you created him, and I know that he is going to be an amazing man of God, and I don't know how you're going to work this whole thing out, but I'm just going to give this to you. I commit this to you. And I wrote it down in a little journal. Lord, today I just give Chad to you in this whole deal with his speech. So he wasn't miraculously cured the way I thought that he should have been. Like wake up the next morning with fluent English. Didn't happen. But there was a contact made with this amazing speech therapist who through a series of coincidences found out about from somebody that was in our school, talked to this lady, and she said, she was retired, she says, oh, I'd love to come. I would love to come and help. She's like, now, don't get your hopes up. I mean, it could take a long time. I'm like, I don't have a hope about anything. I'm just trusting God. I don't even have, at that point in my walk with God, I didn't even know how to, you know, see the finished picture. I was just like, God, I'm not going to worry about this anymore because it's causing me to not walk in faith with you. It's causing me not to walk in trust with you. So here comes this lady, and she invites me to come in, and she sits with Chad, and we sit and talk, and she is just the sweetest thing. And she's like, oh, this isn't a problem at all. She said, and so I was like, really? She's like, oh, this isn't a problem at all. She said, I've seen this. She said, a million times, little boys. She said, they just tend to be like this. I'm like, okay, cool. So she would just take him during a certain period of time, and she would work with him every day. And in 6 weeks, Chad Tillis didn't have a speech problem anymore. He just supernaturally brought the right elements across to make it happen. So another situation that happened when they were older, of course, you know, we put a lot of prayers into our children, don't we? We sink a lot of our prayer time and all that into our kids. Well, our boys were in high school playing basketball, and they were really good. We had a really good team. I mean, they were super. For a little small town, we were state-bound. And we felt like we had prayed in this amazing coach, Coach Shivers. He was very experienced. He knew a lot about basketball, and the guys really liked him. They really ginned together. Well, everything went really good for a year, and then he got another job, a bigger job in Houston, and his wife, they were moving. We were all devastated, totally bummed out. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I mean, this is the prime of their time in high school, and we were all freaking out. And the Lord told me, he's like, I can do better than that. I can do better than that. And it was like that one sentence in my head changed my thinking about God forever after that. I can do better than that. If you think that was great, I can do better than that. So I was like, okay, God, Father, I just thank you for the perfect man to come to Utopia. We just started praying for him. Whoever it is, Lord, I just thank you that he's not just going to be a great coach. He's just going to be a great man, that he's going to influence these boys who are in their 14, 15, 16, 17s, that in this age that he's going to be amazing. Well, God brought in this little couple, Brad and Maddie Lacey. They needed Utopia. They needed Living Waters Church. And he was an outstanding coach that took our boys to the state tournament. Right? He was awesome, but so well-rounded, so godly. He taught our boys principles about discipline and about God and about basketball isn't all that there is. It was so awesome. God did that. And he was here with us for like 4 or 5 years. And my boys, they still stay in contact. They've gone on to San Antonio. He got promoted to a really great school there and is doing a fantastic job, just like he was doing here. But it was like we needed him and he needed us. And she even called me the other day. I was so honored. She called me the other day, and she was at a meeting. Maddie is involved in, she helps parents in a high school that need help, like English as a second language kind of thing, where their kids are going to school and they're doing really good, but the parents need help. And so she does that, and she's really super with it. Well, she went to some conference in Dallas, and on the way home, she called me. And she said, they did this thing, Tracy, about 7 significant people in your life. And she said, you were the first one that came to my mind. I'm like, what? She said, yeah. She said, you were available for me every time I ever needed you. And she said, whenever I came with questions or whatever, you just listened to me. And she said, you gave me counsel right out of the Word of God. She said, I will never forget that. And I was like, God, you're so awesome. God did that. They needed Utopia, and we needed them. And it was such a perfect fit for so long. And we miss them, but we know that it was, you know, for a season that they were here with us. And so that was a thing that I just let it go. When Coach Shivers left, our hearts were heavy and the boys were devastated, but I just like, Lord, you can do better than that. And he did. And so that became my mindset with everything that came. When somebody was devastated, I'm like, really? You think that's bad? God can do better than that. I have a girlfriend. She was in a relationship. She was married, and it went bad. But she was believing God for it. I mean, she stood and believed God for her marriage for years and years and years and years. And the other one's just not interested at all. And I said, you know what? God's got better. God's got Prince Charming for you, really, he does. Or you can stand and believe God for the rest of your life. But there's that person's will that's involved here. Or God can do better. And so she went through a series of things just like I'm talking to you about. going before God and letting it go, writing stuff down. Finally, she said she had to picture him in her mind as being dead to her. Dead to her. So she had to go through this whole process in her mind of it, the whole thing. Because if he was still alive, then there was a chance for reconciliation. Well, we found out that he'd already gone on. He was remarried. His wife has already had a baby. And so I was like, okay, it's time to move on. And so she called me one day. She lives away. And she called me. She said, I found him. I'm like, what? What do you mean you found him? And she said, Prince Charming. I'm like, yes! Finally! When you let it go and you trust God to do better, or that God's got something better for you, always knowing that God is working in your life to willing to do his good pleasure and that it is good. And sometimes we look at the loss as being something painful, and it's a loss for us. But God's saying, you know what? That little hole that's there, that loss that's there, guess what? I'm going to fill it up. But he needs our cooperation. What does he need us to do? Trust him and rest in him. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. And you will find rest for your soul. What needs rest? Our souls need rest. How many of you have created scenarios with a situation that's never happened yet? Yeah, we all have, right? We allow the idea to form, and then we've created this whole masterpiece that's come about, and usually it's evil foreboding at the end, right? It's always worst case scenario. Instead of like, what's the best thing that could happen out of this? It's worst case scenario. And God, that's what he wants us to do. Take that worst case scenario and say, God, you can do better than that. And let God do better. I just have, just these stories are just keep coming to me. But the people that I think about, you know, David, when he had heard that his son Absalom was going to come and take over the kingdom, David's whole perception of it was, if God gave me the kingdom, then it's my kingdom. And he trusted God enough to know that even though he heard that one of his sons it wasn't Solomon was the one who was going to inherit the kingdom, right? Well, his son Absalom was going to come and take over. He was already working it up, and David just had peace in his soul. He had that rest because he knew God gave me my kingdom. And the only person that can take it away and hand it to another is God himself. And he didn't let it get him riled up. He knew the promise. Abraham, when he took Isaac to the altar, don't you think he had to let something go to be able to do that when Isaac was the promise? He's like, wait a minute. You're supposed to, like, millions of people are going to come out of the seed and you want me to kill him? He didn't question God. He just thought to himself, you can do better than this. If this is what you're going to do, you can do better than this. And he trusted God, even though it meant the death of his son. And at the very last minute, and isn't that what God does sometimes? It's just like the very last minute, he's like, whoa, stop. Doesn't he? How many times have you guys found God to intervene in the very last minute? We always call it the midnight hour. And he comes in and he says, whoosh. That's what he wants us to do. Trust me. There's one other story. This is very recently. I wanted to bless a friend with some money. She needed money. She didn't really need it, but I wanted to bless her with it. $200. It was $200. And I said, Lord, I'm letting this go because I really want to be able to take care of this situation with this $200. I didn't tell anybody anything. I never even said a word to anybody about it. And the next day, my husband comes up and hands me a check for $300. And I'm like, you're so awesome. I mean, it was between me and him. I never said a word to anybody. And then he comes up and he's like, here, I want you to take care of this. And he knew nothing about it, nothing. And he's like, here, I want you to do this. Take care of this for me. And I'm like, oh, my God. You just answered my prayer. He's like, really? Good. He's like, good deal. Anyway, so what I want to do, I didn't really want to do a lot of talking tonight. I want us to sing a song. Laura's been so beautiful to play a song. And what I want us to do is I want you to write down, like create an altar at your chair, or you can use the altar here or whatever you want to do. But if it's your kids that you need to let go, well, let me tell you one more story. This came to me. Chad was dating a young lady, and it was very serious, and it wasn't his current wife. And it was when he was a sophomore in high school. Sophomore or junior, I can't remember. Anyway, we were a little apprehensive about the relationship. He was really young, and they were getting real serious, and they were looking at promise rings, and I was like, this is, I'd never said anything to him, but Dwayne and I were having a conversation, and I'm like, okay, I'm just committing this to God. And Chad had come to me one day, and I said, sweetheart, I said, I trust you, and if you love her, I love her. He's like, okay. I'm like, I trust you. And so weeks and weeks and weeks go by, and I'm just trusting God. I'm like, Lord, I'm just letting this go to you. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not fretting about it. I'm just going to love her. I'm just going to love her. I'm going to just love her as much as I can. Every chance I get, I'm just going to love her. Well, she got a promise ring. She went with us on vacation to Colorado. We got to know her some more. It's like, okay, Lord, if this is the one, Chad loves her. I love her. 2 weeks into high school, 2 weeks back into the school year, huge breakup. And I'm like, oh my word, this isn't good. And then there was some kind of I don't remember, they were having some kind of party like during October-ish, somewhere around the fall festival time. And anyway, he and Jody had gone together for a little while, and they were in the parking lot somewhere, and she was in a truck and he was in a truck, and they happened to pull up next to each other, and he looks over there and he's like, hey, how are you? Just real cool. And she's like, I'm fine, how are you? Real cool. And he says, I'm not so good. She said, me either. So she jumped in the truck with him, and they drove around for 3 hours talking about what they had done for the last year, and they have been together ever since. And that's an answer to prayer for me. She comes from a very solid family, parents married for, you know what I'm saying, just really rock solid. They're committed to each other because that's what we always told our guys. You know, look for the girl whose family's intact, because then they'll be intact. And so that's just a blessing to me. And my point is that I never told him anything was wrong with anything that he did. I just trusted God with it, because I believe that God's working in their situation to willing to do his good pleasure too. His hands on her. He's working it. He's already got it all planned out. We just have to have that trust factor. So as we sing this tonight, what I want you to do is write down whatever the yoke is, whatever the burden is, whatever it is you need to let go of. And I want you to put it up here at the altar when you get ready to let it go. Because what I feel like what it does for you is it gives you a release that you know when you did it and that it was done. It's here. I left that at the altar. So whenever it comes to your mind, you can say, I let that go. That's in God's hands now. God's working in that situation to willing to do his good pleasure. So now that's at the altar. So every time the devil tries to bring it back to you and tries to get you revved up and get you yoked and burdened and weighted down with it again, you can just say, I have a light yoke on me now. I took Jesus' yoke because now he's taken that for me. Amen? So sing this song with me, and not with me, I'm sorry, with her. And when you get ready, when you feel like you've released it, then you can just bring it up and sit on the altar. And then what I'm going to do is put it in a little can, and then I'm going to burn them to ash. Just throw it out at the wind. I'm just going to burn them all away. I'm not going to read them or anything like that. This is going to be your place of consecration. It's like, I'll let it go. Okay? All right, Miss.